Hello there. Thanks so much for listening to today's challenge. We're in Psalm 137 today, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 137, verses 1 through 6. It says, "By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our lyres, for there our captors required of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill, let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy." Now, if you know the backstory, you'll know that the nation of Israel is right now, according to this psalm, in Babylon, and they're in captivity because of this their disobedience. And it sure reads here like the Babylonians are just being mean unfairly to them. But what I want to do is I want to take you back to God's instructions for the nation of Israel way back in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And then we're going to go to Deuteronomy 32, and then we're going to tie it all together with 2 Corinthians 7. So stick with me. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 19 and 20. God told the nation of Israel as he brought them into the promised land, he said, "And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God." He had made them promises that he had given blessing and crops and land, but if they disobeyed him, if they turned away from him and worshiped other gods, there'd be consequences. In chapter 32 of Deuteronomy, verses 15 through 20, God tells them their story. He says, "But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, stout, and sleek. And then he forsook God who made him and scoffed at the rock of his salvation. They stirred him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons that were no gods, to gods they had never known, to new gods that had come recently, whom your fathers had never dreaded. You were unmindful of the rock that bore you, and you forgot the God who gave you birth. The Lord saw it and spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I'll hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be. For they are a perverse generation, children in whom is no faithfulness." Now again, God had told them, if you turn to other gods, I will bring consequences. I'll actually have you go into captivity in other lands, and other nations will be able to benefit from your disobedience. And that is what happened. Now, the neat thing is about God is that when he makes eternal promises, he will keep them because he's God. And he had made eternal promises to the forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that that land would be theirs and their descendants forever. And he made an eternal covenant with them. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't going to be consequences and discipline between the beginning, the time of the promise, and the ultimate fulfillment, which is still coming. Yet at the same time, God's purposes to bring us through consequences because of disobedience is so that we would have repentance, true sorrow for our sin, not sorrow for our loss. You know, listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 through 10. Paul says, "For even if I made you grieve with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. For I see that the letter grieved you, though only for a while. As it is, I rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting. For you felt a godly grief, so that you suffered no loss through us." God's purposes for bringing us into times of suffering sometimes is to prove our faith genuine. Other times it's to increase our faith. Other times it's to bring an attitude and a heart of repentance, an acknowledgement of our sin, an acknowledgement of our turning away from him, and then a desire to truly come back. We don't grieve because we lost whatever it is he took away. We grieve because we've sinned and turned against God. And when we repent, he renews, restores, and blesses. The nation of Israel is singing songs here, as the Babylonians here in Psalm 137 are making fun of them and saying, "Hey, well, you guys used to be really musical and sing a lot of happy songs there in Jerusalem. Sing some of your songs about Zion as you now are a prisoner in Babylon." And instead of just being repentant for what they did that caused them to go to Babylon, they were more sorry about their loss of Jerusalem. Is your repentance real? I look forward to sharing some more with you next week. Hope to see you then.